All right. Hey, welcome back to Mission Focused Life. My name is Tanner Payton. I'm here in Rock Island, Illinois. With me is the one and only Tim Olofsson, Executive Director of Another Child Foundation. Tim, how you doing down there in sunny Tennessee?
Sunny Tennessee today. Who knows what tomorrow brings? March is always that month of transition. And so we just take each good day as we can. And, you know, it all depends on how you look at stuff. I mean, every day's a good day. It's just depending on how the weather might influence you a little bit, but try to let every day be a good day. So
that's true. And you know what? I'm blessed. I don't work outside digging ditches. So the weather doesn't really affect me that much. I get to enjoy it from inside a well regimented office space. So
yeah.
So Tim, tell me a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So I thought a good conversation to have is, so really what a mission-focused life, let me kind of give this disclaimer to start with. So really what a mission-focused life, what we're trying to do is trying to help people, help you, our listener, understand what living, what we call mission-focused life is. So living a purposeful life through seeking God's will, obeying or abiding in God's will, and then learning who he is through that experience, and then learning about his character, and then the desire to take that to the next level. When you do that, then you seek his will again, you learn to obey his will. And this is just a cycle that we go through in all of our situations. So that's kind of the framework of what our conversations are about. And I think what we're gonna do today is we're gonna introduce how do we look at this Ukrainian crisis through the lens or through the eyes of obedience? So what are we called to do when we see a situation far from us that is definitely an opportunity that God can work through? There's opportunities for the gospel to be brought to people who may or may not have heard of him. So how can we obey what God is calling us to do through that obedience in situations like this? So the Ukrainian crisis right now, I know we're getting a little bit of firsthand experience with that because of our ministry in Romania is bringing in a lot of refugees. So I think over 100,000 refugees have went out of Ukraine into Romania. So our staff there is dealing with these refugees who are coming in sometimes with no more than what they can hold in their arms. And that might be a child and a few clothes, probably no food, no bedding, nothing like that. So their situations are tough. And but our staff in Romania is being obedient to what God calling them to do. And they are being there, being the hands and feet of Christ to people they've never met before. So I thought that would be a good way for us to kind of talk to our viewers, listeners today about what does that look like and how do we know who to trust? Because sometimes we get fear of abiding or obedience because we're not sure what to do or how to do that. So there's organizations that are doing good work, but how do we kind of pick how that works and who we should be supporting? So what are your thoughts on Ukraine? How do you see this situation besides the political and the horribleness of war, which, well, it's scary, but how do you see Ukraine crisis?
Well, I think the first thing that has stood out to me is the stories that we're seeing on Facebook and various media outlets of how the church is responding there. You know, you have a lot of believers who are flocking to their churches, to those physical locations, despite the warnings, despite bombs going off around them, you know, despite warfare that could literally end their lives. And these people are going, they're joining together and they're praying and they're holding fast. And to me, that is such a powerful inspiration and really a little bit convicting, because I know that the vast majority of my life as a Christian has been spent 99.9% in safety, to where Jesus has never asked me to be in a position where my life is in danger. Really, the only thing that ever gets unsettled is my comfort level. And usually that has something to do with whether or not I'm going to go outside and shovel my car before it's warmed up or after it's warmed up. You know, I mean, these little conveniences that we completely take for granted. And it reminds me of something I've read many times in the book of Philippians chapter 2, And in chapter two, it gives us this really beautiful illustration of what Jesus was willing to give up, you know, his divine aspects in order to become human, and then what that meant for him. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross.
Yeah.
And so my takeaway, what I'm seeing right now in this situation in Ukraine, is here you have believers who are truly living out their faith, and they have an extreme level of obedience to Christ right now, being unwilling to waver that he is still good, that he still loves them, that he is still their source of hope, despite the fact that there's literal war going on all around them. Many of these people are losing their livelihoods. They're losing their families. They're losing everything that they've known, and yet they're clinging to Christ, because Jesus gave us that example of what extreme obedience looks like, that even in the face of when things are not our fault, because we have to remember, Jesus died on the cross for sins that were not his own. Well, these Ukrainians right now are facing horrific circumstances that are not of their own doing, but yet just like Jesus, they're remaining obedient to doing what God is telling them to do.
Yeah, that is encouraging. I've heard or seen, read many of those stories too, of how the church is, but I love the idea of the church reaching out to those others, those maybe those fringe believers, you know, that are out there, that sometimes they got to hit that low, and Jesus and God are going to use those situations. So when you do find yourself in turmoil and in really extreme crisis, that I don't know what that feels like, but if suddenly I had my home that was bombed and I lost a family member and stuff, and I don't have faith, it's like it's such a hopeless situation that if there's a glimmer of hope, that is what the church can offer. And so the strengthening of the church there in Ukraine and the ability for them to reach out to people, even though they're suffering, that's a key component to how God is going to use people to bring others into the kingdom.
Absolutely. And then what it causes us to do is for those of us that are within the body of Christ and in a place where we're not currently going through such difficult circumstances, it begs the question of us, okay, so now what is my responsibility? What is it that I can do from where I am to help, you know, not just the body of Christ, but all those people who are suffering and going through a difficult moment? You know, we have opportunity to be light in the darkness, but it's not only opportunity, it's really a responsibility, because this is something Jesus has given us to be able to respond to and to be able to give action. And so I think, you know, it causes us to kind of list out what are some of the things that we can do from here in the United States. You know, I think the first thing is obvious: prayer. You know, prayer is always the go-to for us, but it can't stay there. I think prayer has to become the launching pad for us, the place where God speaks and directs us into action. So prayer is important activity, but I think it's the starting line of the rest of the activity that he's calling us into. So I think, you know, right now it's tax season, so a lot of us are getting tax returns back. So I think we can look at this and say, okay, God, where can I send some money right now? Where can I send some physical resources that are actually going to be able to do some good for people that are in need?
Yeah.
What do you think? What are some of the other responsibilities that we have?
Well, I think there's two things. I think the one thing is, I think he wants us to give, not out of our extra, out of our access, but to make a sacrificial gift at this time. I think it's important that we give so it hurts us a little bit too. You know, maybe that little nest egg that we had, you know, saved away for a little bit of a vacation or some other, maybe that's a sacrifice that he is calling us to do. When we see others in true suffering, not knowing what to do, not where to turn to, and we're going to give a little bit out of our extra stuff, I mean, to me, that seems unbalanced. I think we need to find a balance. Mm-hmm. And I think another important part is something that you've taught me, Tanner, and some other pastors have taught me personally about ministry is just to give aid is fine. It's a good thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. But just like the woman at the well. He says, I can give you this water and you're going to be thirsty again, but you need to drink from the living water that I give. So as we give aid, if we give aid that's really in the name of Jesus and there's a gospel message behind that aid, then I think that's a lot more effective in doing what God is calling us to do. Now, we do need to tend to people's needs, immediate needs, because they might not be focused on what is God doing in this situation. They're just trying to live through the day. But we need to do that. We need to give them the food and water and shelter that they need. But there's got to be an underlying gospel message there that these people can give. So we want these people to receive what they need, but we ultimately want them to not to thirst again and to have this living water that only faith through Christ can give them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so absolutely necessary right now. And, you know, the amazing thing is in the past, we didn't really have opportunity to connect with people who were suffering in other parts of the world. You know, but now through social media, it doesn't really take a lot of time and energy for us to be able to, you know, make some comments, to send some thoughts and ideas, and to make, you know, to be able to do something, you know, verbally, to put ourselves out there online and to make a presence on behalf of other people. And so I think that's even something that we're able to do. I think as Christians, we can't afford to ignore these things when they're going on in the world around us. I think a lot of times we do a really good job of standing firm when there's opposition against us, but then when we don't always feel the need to be on the offense, to be able to go into, you know, to take new territory and to speak out against things that we know are wrong, that are not good. And so I think that it's an opportunity to do that. And, you know, right now, this Ukraine situation, it's affecting the world around us. I mean, we are feeling effects of this here in the United States. So it's even giving us opportunity right now to share Jesus with the people in our daily lives. Yeah. You know, as people are talking about the things that they're seeing on the news, as they're talking about, you know, rising oil prices, as they are discussing the, you know, the possibility of nuclear war with an unstable dictator in Russia. You know, these are all things that give us these chances as believers to speak life, to speak truth, and to bring hope through the name and the message of Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is what, you know, it's an opportunity that God is going to provide us. Obviously, we'd rather not have this opportunity in a way, but if it brings more people into the kingdom, then this is a great opportunity to do that. Crisis are always times in which people make decisions for Christ. So I also like what you said about words of encouragement. So many times, I mean, what would you say to a person who just lost their home, lost a family member, have no idea where they're going to live? They're leaving the country, leaving their spouse or their husband behind so he can fight in a war, but he wants you to leave. What can you say to somebody like that? So sometimes there's just no real words, but the words that we can give them is the hope, the only hope that we have, and that is encouragement to build their faith, to try to give them words that are going to encourage them in their faith. Because we just don't know what the situation, the worldly situation these people are going to struggle with for years, but where their hope should lie is in their faith in Christ. And so try to give words of encouragement to that. So don't be paralyzed, I guess, by, I don't know what to do. These are opportunities that God is going to. So let the Spirit, like you said, let the Spirit work inside of you through prayer and then act upon that. But it's important that we, as Christians, act through the lens of obedience during crisis situations.
Well, you know, and you hit on something really important earlier, that it's not a matter of convenience. And Jesus hit this pretty hard. He said, you know, it's not enough just to go to somebody and say, you know, I hope for you that you are sheltered and well-fed. He said, no, you need to do something about that. And even as we're having this conversation, I'm realizing that I need to do something about this situation. You know, I have been given some means and some resources that I need to have a little bit of skin in the game here. I need to figure out a way that I can actually help someone, because, man, to your question, what do you say to somebody who is a refugee who has left behind home and spouse, and, you know, they have nothing left to their name? Well, going up to them saying, hey, I hope you do okay in Jesus' name, that's going to be pretty empty. Yeah. So I do think that this is a time for sacrificial giving, to look into people's situations and circumstances and say, okay, God, what is it that I can do right now to help these folks? And so I think this is a good chance for us to talk a little bit that Another Child Foundation in Romania is in this game right now. Like, they are actually taking part. 100,000 refugees have crossed over into Romania. And so your staff there, those boots on the ground, they're actually taking care of folks. So what are some things that the people that are going to watch this video can do to partner with Another Child Foundation to help with that situation right now?
Well, just on a little bit of not of a counterpoint, but just there's always going to be a crisis, whether it's this crisis in Ukraine. It was COVID, but 3 weeks ago it was still COVID, and it's Ukraine today. And in 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be something else. So I always think it's important that our obedience is led by the Spirit, that we're not just reacting. Let's really try to figure out what God is calling us to do, because there might be a deeper meaning for you, Tanner, for me, as we seek His obedience. There might be something larger behind it. So you may be called to, okay, I think I need to give money to Ukraine, and you might end up doing that, but it might be leading to something else. Or He might be calling you to not to give to this situation, because there might be something else around the corner that He is seeing. So I think it's always important that we're getting guided by the Spirit on what to do, and not just to react, because God's plan is always going to be better for us. But as far as what people can do to help us is I hope people see us as a trusted source. I think that is an important part of comfort. When you're sacrificing, you want to do that. I mean, if Jesus didn't know who His Father was, I mean, it would be hard for Him to sacrifice like He did. But He was confident. He knew exactly what He was getting into. So we want that to be the same way. So give to an organization that you can trust. And there's a lot of good ones out there. Probably the majority of them are good. But for your own comfort level, make sure it's somebody you can trust. And then to give sacrificially towards that. Find out what a specific need might be. Because I know we have a need. We always tend to want to minister to children. Hence Another Child Foundation. So what we try to do is we try to meet the needs of these mothers who are taking care of infants and small children. So diapers and formula and all these consumable items that we just kind of take for granted in our lives. These families don't have any of that. Now, how am I going to feed my children tonight? One is, needs a bottle 3 times, 4 times a day. How am I going to do that? So that's what we're providing, those types of needs. Heaters. So like one situation in Ukraine is there are so many refugees coming in. A summer camp was utilized that's only used during the summer. And so they're starting to house these people there, but they realize the heating system, we have no heating systems in these because they're typically used for summer activities. So now we got nonprofits, including Another Child, that are providing heaters to put in these this unit, summer camp type thing, because they don't have any heating. And it's still middle of winter there. It still dips well below freezing at nights and sometimes below zero. So meeting those immediate needs are something that we need to do. So those are just a couple of the ways that Another Child Foundation is really just asking our friends in Romania, what are the needs? And then we just share those needs with our donors and listeners, and they respond. And we've had a good response. We have an amazing group of donors who really help the people we serve do things. So,
well, Tim, I think just to sum up our conversation today, it comes back to what you talk about a lot with that abiding cycle, is us saying, okay, Lord, I need you to show me how I can be involved. What do you want me to do? And then having the obedience to follow through and not talking ourselves out of it or getting distracted and forgetting, but responding quickly and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to do exactly what you've shown me, and I'm going to put it in your hands. Yeah. And I think that if we are all willing to do that, we really can make a difference.
Yeah,
I know a lot of times it feels like, well, what is my contribution going to make? Well, you know what? If you help a mother keep her baby from starving to death in the name of Jesus, that might make a really big difference to that mother and that baby. And who knows? They might come to know the Lord through that. And now you have an eternal investment, not just something that was temporary here on earth. So yeah. I think anything we're willing to do in obedience, God's going to use for his glory.
Yeah. One short story that I can share, just the value, because when we try to talk, we don't talk about our ministry isn't another children or other children. It's one child at a time. It's one person at a time. I remember we were taking shoes over to Children in Romania, and I was putting shoes on this one child's feet, and he saw all the other shoes, and I tried to convey to him that, yeah, there's going to be 3,000 pairs of shoes that are going to be putting on kids. And he basically told me, I really don't care. I got my one pair. So it's just that every pair, every dollar we give that's being utilized correctly can change a life. And so don't think about the 100,000 refugees in Romania and the 1.4 million in Poland, and think about the one mother that your support can help. And and if we do that with a gospel message behind it, God will multiply that, and it'll be amazing to see what God can do.
Amen. Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you so much for this powerful reminder about obedience. We do continue to pray with our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, the refugees from this situation, and we just pray that God would move and intervene. And we know that he's good, even when human beings are not. And that's why Jesus had to come. So we pray that light will get shined into this very, very dark time, and that good will come as a result.
Okay.